Australia has just entered the tropical cyclone season. The Australian Bureau of Meteorology says a typical number of tropical cyclones is expected this year, with 10 to 13 forming in the Indian and Pacific Oceans, and a likely 4 crossing the coast and impacting land. But the ABM says the chances of more than a typical number of cyclones hitting the coast of Australia is just over 50%, which, according to Lance Leslie, professor from the School of Mathematical and Physical Sciences at the University of Technology, Sydney.
And I moved from the university in Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, to UTS because of my skill in atmospheric science.
Really means the Australian Bureau of Meteorology has no idea if we should be expecting more cyclones than the yearly average. I spoke with Lance about the start of the Australian cyclone season and about how changing the way we measure sea level temperatures might help us better understand when cyclones will hit our shores.
Officially, it's defined as commencing in November 1, which is today, and ending on April 30. But storms do occur out of season on occasion, like before November 1 and after April 30. But by and large, the first ones are more common in December. In fact, the mean time of the first landfalling tropical cyclone is well into December.
Have these seasons fluctuated over time? Has it always started on November 1st?
The definition of the season has. The activity varies because there are natural modes in the atmosphere, depending on how strong they are and what phase they're in, can delay the season start or shorten it or lengthen it or have it occur early. So we're highly dependent on what are known as large-scale climate drivers, of which the most well-known one is ENSO, the El Niño Southern Oscillation. In La Niña mode, which is the so-called cold mode, the seasons tend to be a bit more active because the warmer water near the Australian coast enhances the possibility of tropical cyclones forming. We're in a neutral ENSO year, so it's not giving us much information, as evidenced by the Bureau's official forecast of just over 50% likelihood of more storms than the long-term average.
And how do they measure cyclones, the possibility of cyclones?
They use a number of predictors, of which El Niño Southern Oscillation, the mode, is a key factor, but they use other features as well, like the sea level temperatures around the Australian coastline.
And how do they use them to come up with that just over 50% number?
Mostly using a process called multiple linear regression, which is finding correlations between the sea surface temperature anomaly, whether the sea surface temperatures are above or below normal or near normal, and these are known to have associations with tropical cyclone numbers.
Are there other ways to measure it that might give us a better picture of the possibility of cyclones forming around Australia?
Yeah, some recent work I've done and some other people in Australia and elsewhere around the globe is looking more closely at the role of the Indian Ocean, and I recently published a paper with some co-authors showing that the Indian Ocean is a key player in determining tropical cyclone frequency, intensity, and so on. So it's a major player in the tropical cyclone season in Australia.
So what's going on in the Indian Ocean that makes...
Depends on the sea surface temperature distribution. If the sea surface near Australia is anomalously cool, you're less likely to have an active season because sea surface temperatures are a driver of all the anomalies, whether it's warmer than average or colder than average. Warmer than average tends to enhance possibility of tropical cyclones. Cooler than average tends to suppress.
So why have we not previously used the Indian Ocean as a marker for this?
The main reason is that the Pacific Ocean, which is where ENSO occurs, has been extremely well instrumented for quite a while. The Indian Ocean has not been well instrumented, and as a consequence, not a lot of confidence was placed in its role. It's only in recent times that people have started to look carefully at the Indian Ocean as a major player in Australian tropical cyclone season.
Why do you think that there is this gap in measurement? This seems pretty vital, right? Like cyclones cause a tremendous amount of damage, both economic and personal. Why is there this oversight in measurement?
I think it's the biggest factor is cost. One of the important advantages that the US, for example, has is that they have reconnaissance aircraft. So every season the aircraft go, if there's sign of a tropical cyclone or a disturbance forming, they'll send out the reconnaissance planes. Australia does not have any reconnaissance planes. It has some occasionally. It's very expensive to run reconnaissance aircraft, and the US has far more financial resources than any other country for this kind of work. So it's pretty much a matter of economics. Australia's affected by the Indian Ocean, the other side by the Pacific, and one is heavily instrumented, the other is not. So hence the push and the excitement about the fact that the Indian Ocean will become instrumented in the same way that the Pacific Ocean is.
And that means we'll all be safer and better informed.
Better informed, yeah, and which should lead to earlier warnings and preparation.
Lance Leslie, professor at the School of Mathematical and Physical Sciences at the University of Technology, Sydney, ending that story.